mind. The battlefield today is between their ears up here. This is where that you're going to wage some wars and you're going to find the victory that brings the restoration that God wants to do within you. He has some things that he wants to condition. He has some things that he wants to speak unto you. And he wants you to realize once again today that just because the thought enters your mind, it may not be something worth exiting out through your mouth. Today we need to be one that says, I am going to put a guard upon my mouth. The words that I utter, the things that I say, they affect the people that are around me. I want to be someone that is an encourager. I want to be someone that is a blesser. I want to be someone that will lift you up with what I have to say. I'm not interested in tearing down. Anybody can take a sledgehammer and begin to beat upon the structure, but it takes a master craftsman to take the rubble and to begin to build with it something of beauty, something of function, and something of blessing. Can we realize today that God is challenging us once again to be one, to have the mind of Christ, to have the heartbeat of the kingdom, that we would desire that we could reach out to somebody in their need, reach out to somebody in their adversity, and help them along the way. Those loose thoughts bring loose lips and brings danger to those that are around us. They brought unto David that cup with the well water of Bethlehem in it. There it was, that precious memory that he had of what used to be a common ordinary thing that he could no longer possess. I want to tell you, sometimes your memories of the past can get you in trouble because you'll romanticize the past. You don't remember all the pain and all the heartache down there in Egypt. You forgot about those taskmasters. You forgot about collecting that straw. You forgot about making those bricks. You forgot about that whip upon your back. All you're remembering is a few leeks and melons. All you're remembering are the things that were just a moment of relief from the pain. I want to tell you, David had the realization that this which was in this cup, in order for me to go forward from here without blood upon my hands, I'm going to have to pour it out. I've come to tell you today, there's some things in your life before God can ever complete the work that he has for you. You're going to have to pour them out. We've had some dreams that we've dreamed. We've had some expectations that are within our life. And we look around us and we don't see it happening. We don't see the pews filled like we dreamed they're going to be filled. And we'll come to church and we'll be a little discouraged because that dream wasn't met. Why don't you just pour that dream out and say, God, would you fill my cup up with a burden for the people that are there? Would you fill my cup up with a realization that I am going to walk into the house of God and there's going to be somebody that I'm going to preach to today and it's going to make a difference in their life? It may not be hundreds, it may not be dozens, but it's a soul, and without a preacher of the gospel that is anointed and on fire, they're not going to make it. You've got that dream. I'm going to build this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to accomplish that. Why don't you just pour it out and say, God, won't you fill my cup with what you have for me? As long as you're carrying that cup around and it's full of all the carnality and all the things of the world that is around you, God don't have any place to put his blessings upon you. You see, every service is important. Every service could be somebody's last service. We just come upon the one-year anniversary in my church of a very tragic event. It was a Sunday night. The young lady, or the woman, whatever you want to call her, was there with her two daughters and her son. Little did we know that that was the last service she would ever attend. Little did we know that that was the last day that she would spend upon this earth. We reached out. We preached the word of God. She came to the altar. The church responded. They prayed with her and prayed with her and prayed with her. The next morning at 10 o'clock, her husband took a shotgun and sent her into eternity. I want you to know there's some things you're going to have to pour out in order to be able to do the work of God. Oh, it's where God has brought you to that matters, because that's where the work is to be done. There's many times and many places that God has told us it's time to move forward. It's time to go on. But we're trying to hold on to the past. It was so great over here. It was so easy over here. It was so comfortable over here. There was so much that I liked over here. God says, if you'll just pour it out, 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 I can send you forward. I can send you where I want you to go. I've got a work for you to do. I've got revival that I want you to have. But as long as you're holding on to that, I have nothing to do the work of God with. I have seen those that has allowed the pride of this world to take over. They have become filled with themselves. They've become ones that thought that they were so holy and so mighty and so spiritual that now that they could speak for God. I want to tell you, I don't speak for God as a messenger. I want God to speak through me. Hallelujah. If God is not the one doing the speaking, it's all going to come to naught. It's not going to come to pass. But if I will be one that will humble myself and say, God, without you I am nothing. Lord, if you don't speak, I have nothing to say. Lord, if you don't work, I've got nothing I'm going to do. It's not our talents. It's not our abilities. It's God that can move when we're willing to pour out the past, to pour out the pride. I can remember as a young boy, I found myself going to a revival meeting in Seminole, Oklahoma. The church is long gone. But I was there that night. The pastor asked his son to come up and play the drums. He said, I don't feel like it, Dad. I ain't playing the drums tonight. He asked his daughter, would you come up and sing? Oh, Dad, I'm just too tired to sing. I ain't going to come up and sing. I was a young boy, a young man. The word of God went forth that night, and that pricked my heart and my soul. I didn't have any talents to play the drums. I didn't have any talent to sing. But there was something in my heart. I found myself at an altar crying out to God. And I said, God, whatever I can do, use me. Oh, God, use this old boy, Lord. I don't have great talents. I don't have great abilities. But I got a desire, and I will be obedient. You just tell me what to do. Little did I know that in 2007, God would call me to Seminole, Oklahoma, to build a church and reach out to people. Oh, Lord, there's people in our world and they're so messed up. Our idea of the perfect person to sit on the pew sometimes has to be poured out, because I want you to know that perfect person is not out there to sit on the pew until God begins to do a work in their life. it is God that has got to change them. Sometimes we allow the frustrations of life and the things around us to make us angry. We become upset. We become enraged. We live in a world today where all around us we are constantly being bombarded with the doctrine that it's something that you deserve. It's something that is yours. It is something that you are in control of. I was talking to the church on Sunday about how that the world around us, the reason they become so upset at McDonald's because somebody forgets to leave the pickles off their burger, that they'll get in a fist fight, is because their world is out of control. And they suddenly think that I can have control over this hamburger. I finally found something that I can control. And they will get violent. They will get belligerent because of a simple pickle on a hamburger. I want to tell you, if I can pour out my control, if I can pour out my life and say, God, I want to put my life in your hands. Would you fill it with your plan? Would you fill it with your will? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you help me? If I can pour it out, God has blessings that are abundant for me. I see those that have walked down the path of life and they have been so close to some things and they have obtained some things and they've been removed and yanked from them and they are now living in disappointment. I know what it is to be disappointed. I know what it is for somebody to make me a promise and make me a commitment in the ministry and turn around and look at me and say, well, I changed my mind so it no longer counts. My promises don't count anymore. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care how you dice it. They lied to you. They promised you something and they didn't deliver. And you are at a point where you're at disappointment. You're disappointed in man, and the devil wants you to become disappointed in God, even though God really didn't have anything to do with it. And that disappointment can hang on to you, and you can walk around saying, I've been done wrong. I've got to tell everybody about it. I've got to make everybody know how mistreated I've been. I've got to make the world see what a terrible person that is. The only thing you're going to do is suddenly begin to amass a great crop of bitterness within your soul. You're suddenly going to be on a vendetta. You're going to be on a place in a position where that you are looking to get justice by your hands. You're looking to make things right your way. It'll never work that way. What you need to do is look at that disappointment and say, you know what? If I will give it to God, if I will pour this out, if I will pour this out and say, God, you've got something better to fill my cup with. Oh, it's what I planned on. Oh, it's what I wanted. Oh, it's what I loved. But God, it's gone and it'll never be back. But I'm not going to get stuck in yesterday. I'm going to start looking for tomorrow because there's an honest heart out there that needs somebody to teach them a Bible study. There's another Raymond out there that needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. He needs a preacher to look at him and say, you're going to have to go straight. You're going to have to be off those drugs. You're going to have to get rid of that addiction. You walk straight this week. You live for God this week, and we'll baptize you on Sunday night. It is not the disappointments of yesterday that are going to bring revival, but it is somebody that has the burden that God has put in their cup today. A burden for the lost. A burden for one more soul. A burden to see somebody delivered. A burden to see somebody empowered and filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. What is our desire? What is our goal? We're not building the kingdom of man on this earth. we were looking for a kingdom of man, we would take up arms and amass an army and go forth to conquer. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're looking to change lives for eternity. We're looking to reach out into somebody and to preach a message unto them that will bring them into relationship with Jesus Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation today. The world is separated from God because of their sin. All around them is perversion. Around them is false doctrine. Around them is false prophets on every hand. And there needs to be somebody that'll love them enough to let them feel something in their heart and their soul, so that when they hear some truth, they'll be able to accept it. See, the world doesn't really believe much of anything you have to say until they begin to feel some love. All you got to do to realize that the world is unbelieving is answer the next phone call on your cell phone that you don't know what the number is. You'll realize that every hour of the day, there's somebody out there lying to them, trying to steal from them, trying to cheat them, and trying to mess them up. And they need somebody that has some real love and that cares about their soul. I don't know what burden the Lord will put on your heart or what direction He will lead. There's hurting people in your city, and you need to love them like we've never loved them before. I realize today, I've been a pastor long enough, I've had enough people come up and ask me to pay their electric bill, that the world is on the take. They're out there looking to take you for an easy mark. But through all of that, there's people out there that when they feel love, they're going to listen. The Lord laid it on my heart that on Tuesday nights, I have a choice. I could take my family. We could go to the local barbecue joint. I could have some ribs. Have some brisket with all the fixings. Or I could take that money, Brother Jones, go buy some hot dogs and some buns, buy some potato chips and some red diamond tea, go over to the church house, invite people to come, I'm going to feed you a meal. When we're going to get done, we're going to teach you about how to be born again. I've had them come in the door and eat my food, and when I turn my back, they run off before I could get them taught a Bible study. I've seen a little bit of it all. But I want to tell you something. There's some honest hearts that God has touched their life. I've seen them baptized in Jesus' name. I've seen them filled with the Holy Ghost. And the first time they ever walked in an apostolic church, they were walking in to get a free hot dog. They were walking in to get a free bologna sandwich. They were walking in to get a free taco. They were coming for the loaves and the fishes. Didn't Jesus have some loaves and fishes? He reached out to the people. There was masses there, but somewhere within it, it takes you saying, I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to pour it out. I'm willing to change my lifestyle a little bit. I'm willing to make a sacrifice. I know that we're ready for Sunday morning and Sunday night or our Sunday service and our Wednesday service. But you mean, preacher, we're going to add another service this week. We're going to do something different this week. We're going to bring people in and feed them some food and teach them a Bible study. I'm just telling you, God will speak to your heart if you're willing to listen. That there's people out there, and if you'll love them, you'll get an opportunity to preach the gospel to them. That's our desire, is to get somebody that'll listen to what we have to say. I don't know about you, but I have never, ever seen a dentist chasing somebody down the street with a pair of pliers saying, "Come back here, I got to pull that tooth." But there's something about it. They got a sign hanging out front that says dentist. And when that tooth begins to hurt, people know where to go in order to get rid of the pain. We need to be a church in our town that when people are hurting, they know where to go. There's a place you can go there that'll love you. There's a place you can go there that has truth. There's people there that are worshiping God. The presence of God is there. But you see, the devil wants to fill your cup with all this other stuff so that you're distracted from the goal. You're distracted from where God wants you to be. You're distracted from where the goal line is. What's it going to matter 100 years from now what kind of car you're driving? What is it going to matter 100 years from now what kind of house you're living in? What's it going to matter? I want to tell you something. There's some things that we need to look at in the light of eternity and the light of what God could do if we were willing to allow God to direct our path. That we're willing to say, "God, take me and use me. I want to be a vessel, oh God, that has a place for you to pour out your blessings within me. I don't want to be consumed with this world." I don't know about you, but there's certain people that call themselves Pentecostal, apostolic, whatever you want to tag them or label them, that I don't have very much in common. It's hard for me to carry on a conversation with them. They're wanting to talk about something called the Dallas Cowboys. They're wanting to talk about something called Dancing with the Stars. They're wanting to talk about, you get the picture. I am kingdom minded. I'm wanting to talk to somebody about what we can do to reach out and touch a lost soul. I want somebody that's excited and passionate about a revelation that they got when they were reading the Word of God. "Brother, did you read this scripture over here? Did you see what Peter did? Oh, man, when God opened that up and I realized how that Peter had those keys and Peter was using." It's never old. Give me Acts 2:38 that somebody has seen it from a fresh new light. Oh, my. The things of this world they're consumed with. Day in and day out, they're not kingdom minded. They're not looking for a way to get closer to God. They're not looking for a way to hear from God. How in the world are we ever going to hear from God if our cup is full of all the junk of this world around us? Just full, just running over. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to read our Bible. We don't have time to go out and talk to a lost soul and tell them about a God that wants to deliver them. We're too busy with all the things of this world. Somewhere, God, allow me to realize the things that are not worth hanging on to anymore. You see, there's some things we need to toss out because we need an appointment with the Almighty God that He can begin to mold and make us into a vessel that can bring honor to the kingdom. Out behind the potter's house is the potter's field, and those are the vessels that resisted the touch of the Almighty. I don't believe I can go there, God. That's asking too much of me. Oh, when we can begin to realize, we can begin to realize that if we will allow God to direct our path, if we allow God to heal the hurts of yesterday, to put that behind us and realize that God's not done with you yet. God has a plan for your ministry. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan and where He's going to take you. It is not the valley that we may imagine or the mountaintop that we may dream of. It may not be the path that you thought you would travel, but if you'll get in there and you'll begin to pray and begin to put one foot in front of the other, saying, Lord, this is where you brought me to, and I'm going to do the work that you have brought me to do. It makes a difference one at a time. Our carnality and the masses around us will be singing the song that it's never going to happen. It's always going to be this way. It's never ever going to have a mighty move of God in your ministry. You're never going to see a great revival. You're never going to be a part of exciting things for God anymore. I'm reminded of a few old lepers that were outside of the city. Everybody in the city was starving to death. They were surrounded by the enemy. The old prophet came and he looked at the king and he began to prophesy what God was going to do tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, and he began to tell him how cheap that food would be sold in the city. The Bible says that the man that was at his right hand opened his mouth and said, if God made windows in heaven, it ain't gonna happen. Won't you quit believing those doubters? Won't you quit believing those people that have always opposed you? Won't you quit believing those people that have always talked down to you? Won't you just put those in the past and put them behind you and begin to believe God at His Word today? That God says that He's going to do a great work in your life, that God is going to restore unto you that which the enemy has stolen. Oh! It didn't happen like they was imagining. There wasn't a fleet of Ishmael traders roll up into the back gate of the city and begin to sell the wares for nothing. But there was just some old leopard boys that were outside of the city that came to a realization, if we stay here, we die. If we go there, we might die. We're probably going to die. But I smell some fried chicken. I think that is watermelon they've got over there. And maybe before they kill me, they'll give me a bite of watermelon. I'd rather die with watermelon on my lips than sitting here with sand in my craw. So they begin to march toward the enemy camp. I want to tell you God wants you to do something. He wants you to do something. He's tired of you sitting around waiting for nothing to happen. He's tired of you sitting around saying, hey, I just don't know what to do. I just can't find anything to do. I don't know. He wants you to do something. He wants you to begin to march towards the enemy's camp. He wants you to begin to take on the gates of hell. He wants you to find somebody to preach to. He wants you to find somebody to pray for. I've got up and I've preached to the young ministers in my church and I've told them, if you don't have a burden for the lost, I want you to go to Walmart and walk around Walmart for 30 minutes looking at people and praying for them. If you can't get a burden for the lost at Walmart, you're just burdenless. Amen. And we got a 50-gallon drum of oil. We'll pray for you. I want to tell you something. Do something. Don't sit around waiting for the windows of heaven to open up and rain on you. It may be just simple. It may be just plain. But go and do something. Go find somebody to teach a Bible study. Go find somebody to invite to church. Nothing else. Get you a postcard. Write down you're invited. Put your church name and address on it. Drive down the road. Find a house. Write their address on it. Put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. One of my drug addicts that was there Sunday night looked at me and he said, Pastor, I got an invitation on my door this week. On my fence, rather. That's the reason I'm here tonight, because somebody invited me to come to church. They'd went several times and nobody showed. But I'm going to do something. Because if I stay here, I'm going to die. If you stay where you're at, you're going to die. Because that cup is full of pollution. That cup is full of bitterness. It's full of gall. It's full of the disappointments of yesterday. It's full of your doubt. Pour it out and say, I'm going to march forward. I'm going to march forward for the kingdom of God's sake. I'm going to find something for the kingdom of God to do. I'm going to go down and have a prayer meeting at the church. I don't care if anybody else is there. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to pray until heaven is moved. I've never seen a pastor yet that's come up to me and said, I'm disappointed. I've got way too many people in my church coming and praying during the week. No. Too many times we have days go by and there's nobody in the house of prayer praying. Find your way to an altar. Reach out to God and get a hold of Him, because we got to do something in order for the blessings to be rained out. I'm closing this morning. Somebody would come to the music, or rather this afternoon. I want to talk about one other thing that is still in the heart of this preacher. And I want to proclaim it and preach it to our fellowship today. And that is, we need to teach our people. We need to preach to our people that the altars are our friends. I've been to too many churches, preached too many messages, and had them stand up and give the half mass for about 35 seconds, and they were done. Nobody come to the altar to pray. Nobody come to the altar to allow God to do a work with the word they just heard. See that God has brought some word into your heart and He wants you to begin to make some commitments today. God, will you use me? God, will you lead me? God, will you guide me? God, I'm going to pour out yesterday's leftovers. I'm going to pour out that stale old stuff. I'm going to pour out that rotten old manna. I want something new. We got to teach our people that we meet God at the altar because that's where we know God will be. I don't know if God will meet you at Walmart. I don't know if God will meet you at 7-Eleven. I sincerely doubt He's going to meet you on Facebook. But I want you to know that God will meet you at the altars of an anointed apostolic church every time. Can you stand with me this afternoon? Would you grab your cup with me today? Hold it in your hand. Do you got anything today that you're willing to pour out? Has God spoke to you today about anything that it's just been way too costly that you've held on to it? Has God spoke to you and told you that if you will get rid of it, you're going to move forward and you're going to see God's blessings on your ministry? You're going to see God's anointing in your life like never before. He's going to begin to restore and to refresh within you anew, that you can leave this conference with a new and fresh anointing. Let us pray. The altars are open. Let us pour some things out today.
I want to be used of the Lord today, and I want to reach for souls. Glory to God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Akers, for reminding us that this is about souls. Glory to God. Remember tonight, 7:30, 6:30, Singspiration.
Brother Martin, if they're going to be singing, everybody knows who they are. They need to come and line up so we can get going.
Tell them.
You know who you are because we put your name on the list last night. So just be here at about 6:15 so that we can get you lined up. Be sure that you get with Sister Pickard. Everybody knows who Sister Pickard is. You need a piano player. Brother Gowan plays the piano. I play at it. But somebody here will help you. If you've got canned music, you need to get with Sound Booth Man, Brother Morris. Get your canned music to him so he can get you in order. Do we have CD player? Pastor, did you bring Muskogees?
Nope, I didn't.
Okay, well. May have to sing a cappella.
May have to sing a cappella. A cappella. A cappella.
Okay, just be here at 6:15. All the Singspiration people, y'all know who you are. So let's come in and let's get everybody to come and hear our singers.
What about choir?
We're practicing choir after we eat tonight.
Okay. 6:30 Singspiration. 7 o'clock, 7:15 prayer. Before service, 7:30 prayer tonight, or service tonight, come, expecting a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't believe it's going to change one thing. Do you, Brother Powell? Glory to God. I think God's going to be here. Feel like he's going to be here. You're dismissed today in the fear of the Lord.
I wish I had my voice. Here, let me show you what I'm thinking about in the choir.
I was just, that first song, I just wasn't getting it. I don't know why.
Change me, Lord. Okay, what's the first one?
First one is...
Let the worshipers arise. Do you know that, brother?